Hi, welcome back. I'm Erin Peace, and now I'll be talking with graphic communication design student Dan Hopkinson, whose work centers around reportage illustration. Hey, Dan.
Hi, Erin.
So, Dan, let me start by asking, what exactly is reportage illustration?
That's a very good question. I think that for me, it's about documentary. It's certainly visual reporting would probably... most people would be able to go and understand, but also anthropological studies, as in being down in amongst the weeds and being able to experience life, but also to be able to report on that and to document that. I think that it's for me, it's also clear that you're in some ways trying to mediate that lived experience, and that you are in somehow trying to translate that experience through drawing, but through drawing it also it's a transformative act as well.
And what led you to focus on reportage illustration as your topic?
I suppose my background is just comes through visual communication and illustration, and I've always had that that interest in drawing. I enjoy drawing, and I also really enjoy observing life and working from life. I find that much more stimulating than just work that is more fictional.
Okay, so you've been doing a lot of these reportage illustrations as part of your practice up till now?
Actually, I don't think that I have done that much previously. I was doing some some personal work whilst I was away in and living in Russia for a few years, but it's only through the course that I've really started to explore the actual subject and discipline of reportage illustration.
And are these illustrations that you've done so far in the course, are they in your drawer for people to view?
So
what's in your drawer?
I suppose I'm exploring process and ways in which you can, what is valid, I'm asking questions about what is valid visual, what is reportage illustration. So I've got some of my work that is born of lived experience. I've created some studies from life, but I've also been using a camera, so I've included a photographic still and a drawing that I've made up from that photographic still, and then a still from an animation that I've created. So I've developed text over the top. So there's a photograph, there's a drawing, and then there's drawn text that I've included, as well as a text that I've been that was quite influential in my symposium and research paper, and that was the a piece of work by Lewis Netter from the Journal of Illustration, Mapping Experience in Reportage Drawing.
Great. So it seems that you're trying to explore this medium through the medium. Would you say that that's...
Yes.
Right? Okay. And so what are you trying to communicate with your work?
I suppose that depending on the topic, that's going to change depending on the topic, but what I'm doing in terms of developing my own practice is exploring ways of documenting and ways to mediate lived experience.
And what do you document? So you go out in a day and you observe people. Is there anything you're looking for?
I think that what has become important over the past couple of projects has been looking at everyday life and life
okay.
on the street. But that is very broad. And the trick is to perhaps find elements to... observing elements and trying to go and bring them together. So some of my short projects so far have been looking at a cafe in Penge and just trying to understand why people are visiting and what it is about that cafe that is of interest to those regulars. But also I've been down to Speaker's Corner and just looking to see what sorts of people are visiting that. So I'm looking at people. I'm definitely interested in people. Some parts of everyday life become quite strong and dominant, and I suppose they stand out in terms of a subject that you can draw upon. But
and these have to be rather slow parts of life, right? Or do you sketch very quickly in order to capture action as well?
I think that everyday life is evident, and we're perhaps because we are immersed in it, it's not so evident what it is in terms of documenting everyday life. It's something that perhaps we take for granted. But yes, you have to be quick to be able to. People are not going to stop for you.
Yeah.
You have to be able to. There are some skills that you need to be able to go and observe and capture. But then I'm asking questions about how accurate do you need to be able to mediate that experience.
Right. So let's talk about that accuracy. How would you compare this sort of drawing with photography as a sort of reportage?
I think most people, I'd assume that most people would be able to relate to photography, reportage photography, as being perhaps more dominant just because of the prevalence of photography in Lesbos media, rather than people going around drawing and observing. So I think that drawing and visual reportage or illustrated reportage has kind of fallen by the wayside, but in actual fact it's led the way previously in terms of visual reporting.
Right. That's how reporting started out, right?
Exactly.
In terms of visual reporting. Okay. So where do you position credibility within your drawings? If we have all the tools of photography at our fingertips, why are you choosing to draw?
Credibility is, I think there's two questions there. There's credibility and why do I draw? I draw because I enjoy drawing, and I think that there's something that you can gain from being able to sit and draw, because it's a slow process and you observe and you can actually capture detail that you can recognize and spot, and you can choose to edit whether to include that or not in terms of photography. It's much more of a broader net. Of course you edit, but at the same time it's much quicker process when it comes to observing and capturing. You can go back and edit. But
does that ability to edit make your work lose credibility in terms of actually reporting what happened?
There are questions in terms of editing. You have to be selective in terms of what you can capture, because you can only draw your drawing is time based. It's limited to the amount of time that you can go and spend looking at something. I've got some interesting sort of case studies when looking at the likes of Olivier Kugler, who's a well-known reportage illustrator, and Lucinda Rogers, who goes on location and captures the work, makes her studies on the spot and edits in as she works, whereas Olivier Kugler is much more of an immersive practitioner and spend some time, maybe a few days, possibly a couple of weeks with his subject, but then goes back to his studio to be able to draw up and draft his illustrations. So there's two different methodologies there, but both of them very well established reportage illustrators whose work is just as credible. But one is working retrospectively, which is something that you can't really do with photography.
And
I think it's a very interesting aspect of drawing, is that it's the flexibility of drawing, and again, just how accepting we are of that version, that translated experience, that version of the truth that we're looking at when we are consuming reportage illustration.
So why does it matter what method works better as something that transmits reality?
Well, there are ways and methodologies are many and varied. And I suppose it matters in that if you're going to call it visual, if you're going to call it reportage illustration, visual reportage, then for me, the viewer is going to have to be able to accept what you've translated as being something that has been experienced. Otherwise, it's a piece of fiction. So do you need to do? So I'm trying to explore different ways in which you can push those boundaries to ultimately produce a piece of work that is both convincing and communicative.
Great. Well, take a look at Dan's work. Thanks for being here, Dan. Next up, we have Aijan Abdrakhmonova. She'll be talking about music and music listening. Stay tuned.